Bienvenidos to the 50-50 Spanglish Podcast. This is your host, Jesse.
And this is Jessica.
En este episodio, this is the episode called ADHD and Me, Parte 2. We're going to be talking about what the benefits are, what type of treatments I've been introduced to, you know, what what results we've seen so far, and of course, también, lo que es that mixed reaction we have, because we are de aquí y también de allá. Así que we're trying to break the stigma and normalize this conversation. All this and more
coming up.
Bienvenidos once again to the 50-50 Spanglish Podcast, donde somos de aquí y somos de allá. This is your host, Jesse.
And this is Jessica.
ADHD parte una, I think, was the first time que le digo públicamente a muchas personas y a varias personas about this new, well, you know, this new journey que hemos hecho with mental health.
You've been telling a couple people.
I've told people.
You're very open about this.
And I think that's the biggest reason why I wanted to do the episode in the first place is because
there's two types of people, you guys. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
There are people who get diagnosed with something and tell everybody right away. And then there's people who just never talk about it until a decade later.
Which one am I?
Okay.
Are you telling me that I am not as deep and mysterious as I claim to be?
No, you're not.
You're
an open book.
I want to be open. You know, cuando hablamos about the taboo, una conversación about la salud mental, like we were making some de nuevo, verdad, high claims de que like be open, normalize it. So I want to keep the same energy. I want to keep the same energy now that I am personally dealing with it.
So that's why you're por eso lo platicas y lo expresas y le dices al like basically most of our closest people.
Yeah, that is actually one of the big reasons, you know, and that's why I'm very, you know, even very comfortable ahorita, right now, talking about it again. I have no problem putting this out in the public, en verdad. You know, I don't want to be
a hypocrite. Why are you like this?
What do you mean? Why am I like this?
Why?
Like, why do I feel comfortable talking about it?
Uh-huh.
Because I...
Why aren't you like every other typical Mexican that says, don't, this isn't a thing?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. Siempre cuando he escuchado eso, de que, oh, pues nosotros no creemos en eso, it always made me feel like, why? Is it not true? So, cuando he escuchado eso, yo like, you know, de familiares, ¿verdad? O amigos que dicen, ay, pero those aren't real problems. Esos no son enfermedades de verdad. I've heard that far, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they discredit que no existe.
Or it's not that big of a deal.
Or it's not that big of a deal. That if you can't, if you're not handling it, it's because you're weaker, mm-hmm. you know?
Somebody said que porque no te estás desangrando. It's not an emergency. Exactly. Or it's a non-issue. Que so, no deberías de tomarlo tan en serio, like if mm-hmm. you're bleeding out.
Mm-hmm. Ahora lo que, you know, cuando yo he escuchado eso, then I was like, I wonder if that's true.
No, because, oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
So in my case, you know, doing some research and trying to figure out the validity behind esos those arguments, turns out que no, ni el caso. They are completely true. It's not... Una cosa is being ignorant about it, y otra cosa is like deciding to not acknowledge it. So, you know, I believe that a lot of people are ignorant and, you know.
No se informan, no saben, no hacen preguntas.
And I think it's a very like cultural, and not just cultural, but even generational thing to be ignorant about these issues because people were, I don't know, they weren't. Por ejemplo, I read this really interesting study, you know, and it was an article that was published by ASU. And ASU was showing de que los immigrants that came, you know, from Mexico and different parts of Latin America, they scored higher in mental health testing and evaluations than their, you know, first generation children. And they believe that a reason why.
So, en español.
So, básicamente, los que se emigraron, ¿verdad? Para los Estados Unidos, su salud mental, cuando los evaluaron, estaba más saludable, digamos. Estaba más alta, ¿verdad? Que sus hijos que nacieron aquí en los Estados Unidos.
Su estabilidad mental estaba...
Su salud mental.
Categorizada como más estable.
Más estable. They were scoring happier, digamos, ¿verdad?
Mm.
And they're believing that one of the reasons why is because adversity does build resiliency. That is true.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when they had to choose between las oportunidades que había en otras partes de México y Latinoamérica versus lo que había aquí opportunity-wise in Estados Unidos, they were perfectly fine with that decision, right? Like, a lot of people came here to, you know, offer a better
future. Do you think it was maybe their sense of hope?
I think that's a big part of it, mm-hmm. you know? And even though they were facing discrimination, and even though they were facing issues, and even though they were facing socioeconomical problems, the alternative was worse. Mm-hmm. Así que, according to this study, ¿verdad? And I'll link it here in our podcast below. According to this study, one of the, you know, hypotheses or the arguments that they're making is that la razón that they were scoring higher is because they were happy for the sacrifice and the opportunity that they were doing here in este país mm-hmm. due to the fact that they immigrated a country que no tenían esas oportunidades.
So, como, like, silver lining, you know, like...
Silver lining.
Ajá, que... Is there a translation for silver lining?
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to think about that one.
Así que, o sea, en comparación con la vida que habían dejado, estaban mucho, mucho más veces mejor aquí, aún soportando discriminación and, like, you know, everything that physically, too, that they probably went through to get mm-hmm. here.
Yeah. And
as opposed to their children.
Yeah, exactly.
Y who no were sé, already born here.
Y no sé qué tanto, verdad, sea muchas veces mejor, pero at least for sure. Something that they were able to deal with. Like, they were willing to deal with it because mm-hmm. no había otra alternativa. So, them having been exposed to that versus their kids, o sea, tú y yo, ¿verdad? First Same. Generation, they were not exposed to it to that degree. Por ejemplo, and this is very interesting that the study mentions this. Cuando nuestros padres, right, or whoever your parents are, their first, you know, cuando se emigraron para acá en los Estados Unidos, they already came with the mentality that they were foreigners, right? Mm-hmm. They already came with the mentality de que, you know, they were going to be...
No soy de aquí.
No soy de aquí, you know, so...
Es being, expectativa.
Being seen that way mm-hmm. is normal for them. First generation, I mean, we have a whole podcast dedicated on the fact that no sabemos si somos de aquí y de allá. And tú y yo, we're just saying, well, we're just going to embrace both sides. But the reality is de que, and it's true, when we were growing up, we didn't feel like foreigners.
In the United States?
No.
No.
This is like, you know, somos de este país, de aquí somos. But then when we started experiencing for the first time, now later into our early adult years, that people were seeing us as not from here. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. And you and I had the lighter version of it.
Yeah, I don't think like I've gone.
We haven't had discrimination like some other people have. We live in a very primarily Mexican community. México está aquí luego, luego. But even now, you know, even then, we can still see the differences between when estamos aquí en Soma, mm-hmm. San Luis, Arizona, and then right across the border, San Luis, Mexico, completely different vibe.
Sí.
Pero, you know, Mexican Americans, particularly first generation en adelante, who are from like, digamos, LA or other major cities, they feel like the same way that we feel, but they experience that signaling out, you know, or that pointing out that you're a foreigner. Right? And it's hard to...
So, esa como lifestyle, esa vida que our parents' generation who came here, they kind of brushed it off.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, that made them mentally stronger.
They were mentally prepared for it, digamos, mm-hmm. ¿verdad? Versus, you know, according to the arguments that they were making in this particular journal, in this article by ASU, is de que, you know, we were not. We grew up with the mentality that we're from here, and then experiencing discrimination from people who are supposed to be from your same country, you know, could be a very good reason or one of the many factors of why we were scoring lower on mental health.
So, okay.
Yeah, it's a very interesting argument, ¿verdad? It really is.
But there's also the argument of transgenerational trauma.
Absolutely. I mean, ¿cuántas veces no escuchamos también, you know, y tiene que ver no lo más con la cultura, but also for economic, socioeconomical reasons, que la expresión es que somos de rancho? ¿Cuántas veces no escuchamos eso?
Yeah. It's definitely a public health crisis.
y para todos se usa esa excusa.
Sí.
Oh, es que somos de rancho. Like, oh, ¿por qué no recibiste esa atención médica? Oh, es que somos de rancho. Oh, ¿por qué no le enseñaste a tus hijos a cómo expresarse emocionalmente? Ah, es que somos de rancho. Yeah. Ah, ¿por qué no pagas el celular? Porque soy de rancho. Like, y no, para todos usamos esa excusa. So like, you know, that's where that transgenerational trauma really lies in, you know? Así mm-hmm. que, for a long time, this was not discussed, especially entre varones.
Yep.
Especially between men, con el machismo que todo eso existe, you know? Like, mm-hmm. And it never sat well with me because it never really made sense. as a medical professional myself, you know, like as a medical professional myself, si te quiebras la pierna, si tienes una infección, nobody's ever going to come and tell you, ay, pues hazte fuerte. Mm-hmm. Ay, pues échale ganas. Come on, just do your best, man. No.
Walk it off.
No one's going to tell you to walk off a broken leg. You go to a doctor, you get evaluated, you get treatment. For mental health, is the exact same thing. At least that's how I saw it, and I'm glad that more people.
But why have you always seen it that way? Because you're always talking about it, even before we were a thing.
That's a good question. I'm not sure, honestly.
Okay, well, you chew on that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, but
I know because I grew up in a home where emotions were not really a thing. Mm-hmm. So even though éramos puras mujeres y mi papá, when I met you, you cried a lot.
Mm-hmm. También chillón.
Yeah, you know, and I was just like, this is...
Las pelis me hacen llorar.
I was just like, yo no crecí con hermanos, so yo no crecí con esa, like, los niños no lloran, you know? Like...
I've heard that expression before.
Yeah, pero in a home full of girls, we were still like, no vayas a llorar. Uh-huh. You know, like, no seas chillona. At least me being the little one, I was always teased because I was... emotional. I was an emotional little baby.
I mean, I was teased because I was an emotional little baby. Me acuerdo que mi tío Changuil me, like, would come and tease me and like, smack me según él playfully, ¿verdad? Uh-huh. And I'm not going to talk bad about him. He passed away, lo que sea, ¿verdad? So I'm not going to say that he's, like, a bad person, pero pues su misma ignorancia, ¿verdad?
It's just su misma lo ignorancia común. Y su, es lo común y su mismo machismo everyone.
Que existía, ¿verdad? Mm-hmm. Like, malamente en su mind, su machismo, él venía and he would play hit me, quote unquote, ¿verdad? And play hit me, decía, ay, no seas niñita, los hombres no lloran. And I remember he hit me. Uh-huh. And I'd just be like, pero pues yo sí. Like,
yeah, you're very emotional.
What do you want me to do?
Eres muy sentimental, bien emocional. Nunca se me va a olvidar cuando se te murió tu perrita. And I was just like.
Oh, la chispita.
We were just friends. And I'm like.
Man, pretty man. Man
who no. died? Yo pensando que era una persona and you were crying over your dog. And I was just like, oh, wow. And you were like, no querías ir a trabajar, no fuiste al college. Like, that day was just like, you were mourning, you know? Y yo así como que, hi, pretty.
You know, my mom has always, and my dad too, it's funny enough, mi
papá. And I love that, like, it was fine at your house.
My parents did it really, my parents did a really great job in having, like, a safe space to talk.
Yeah.
To open, to express myself. Siempre me he sentido, mi mom y dad siempre me han hecho sentir de que, I can express what's on my mind.
Yeah.
Así que, to be fair, I don't
they're like that with all of us.
To be fair, I don't think I gave them much choice. I was, you know, naturally opinionated as a child.
And,
you know,
and
impulsive.
And told people how you felt.
And I think that's part of the ADHD, que no sabía que tenía yo at the time. Uh-huh. They knew that I had some type of anger issues or some type of emotional thing because me acuerdo cuando estaba like in grade school. The counselor was like, hey, your kid's not normal, dude. Like, you know, he keeps rushing out of the class. He keeps disrupting the teacher whenever he thinks he's right. And he gets mad and flips desks over y se larga del classroom.
You know what I'm learning? I'm reading a book. Mm-hmm. I'm excited because I'm reading my first book.
What's the book?
It's called What Happened to You. Mm-hmm. Yeah, about childhood trauma and resiliency and healing. Mm. It's just so interesting to me. I've always been interested in like child development and stuff. And algo que vez tras vez as the chapters keep going on, I'm not done with it. Vez tras vez as the chapters keep going on, the neurosurgeon or neurosurgeon, the neuroscientist doctor keeps saying how siempre que él iba y evaluaba a ciertos niños porque ya, you know, the counselors called, the social workers called, the court ordered him to, you know, some other doctor called him. Mm-hmm. Most of these kids are diagnosed or misdiagnosed with ADHD because of their behavior.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you should read it.
Yeah, no, I definitely plan to. I think yeah, with me, good. They kind of diagnosed some type of, I don't know if it was ADHD or not, but I remember que nos pusieron unas pastillas and my dad didn't like it. I didn't last long with it. To be fair, they were making me like very loopy, very like sleepy, very todo eso. ¿Te acuerdas? I do remember that. I do remember not feeling too hot. I must have been kindergarten or first grade at the latest.
Oh, you were little.
I was little. Yeah.
Like 5 or 6.
Y me acuerdo que my dad's solution was, okay, then I'm just going to keep you busy all the time. Así que when I would get home, he would make sure that I do my homework. He would read to me. Me acuerdo que vivíamos en la trailer, en la mesa verde.
God bless that.
Y nos sentábamos, like, me sentaba con él en, like, one of those rocking chairs, lazy boys.
Oh, my God.
Y luego prendía una lamparita, and he would read to me. And it was funny because he was reading to me in English, and I was learning English, and we were, like, both kind of, like, practicing it together.
You've never told me this. This is so cute. No, you've never told me this.
One of my favorite books que me leía, it was about dogs and different types of dogs.
Of course.
And, you know, me acuerdo que he would make me do that para que cansara mi mente. He would make me be in sports so I can tire myself out physically. He figured if he can't just keep me engaged all the time.
Which, was he wrong?
No, he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Pero it was mostly because he didn't want me to have medication. But that mm-hmm. is something that he said, no, you don't need that. You don't need that. You're stronger than that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad meant well.
Of course, he's your dad.
He meant well. Pero it doesn't mean, ahora que I've decided to go and take medication and therapy, y evaluarme con un psychiatrist, psicólogo y todo,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean I wasn't strong enough.
Yeah.
My dad meant well. Pero no lo más es cuestión de que no lo ocupas, you are stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about a weak thing. It's not about being strong. It's about recognizing that there's nothing wrong with a little help.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, those things did help. But unfortunately, like, once I got to middle school and once I started, like, developing what my identity would be, you know, the bad habits started kicking in. And those bad habits went unchecked. And those bad habits followed me all throughout
high
school.
Sí, pues ya no era como que te sentaba y leía y todo eso. Sports, yeah. You know, you kind of drifted away from sports.
Yeah.
So your bad habits
took the best out of me.
Yeah.
And if they have followed me desde middle school,
into
my 30s.
¿Y qué fue de que everybody was like, oh, Jesse's so smart, Jesse's mm-hmm. smart, Jesse's so smart, because you are very smart.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really interesting to me how when you got evaluated, they told you that you went so long, you got away with things this long, I guess,
mm-hmm.
porque your intellect is, you know,
it's high.
High.
Yeah.
Y era como que everybody just kind of trusted that your brain was smart enough that you didn't really need all these other little things.
And to be fair, verdad, like, it seems normal enough, verdad, like, same. Oh, I wasn't doing my homework because I'm just a lazy teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just procrastinating because soy inmaduro. Mm-hmm. And I was getting good grades, or at least good enough to not call any attention.
You guys, Jesse's a kid que no estudia and he aces all his tests.
I've never had to study. I've never
guys
had
mal,
to prepare.
Guys mal.
Because I've been able to store everything in my long-term memory. I have a really good mm-hmm. long-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, I just told you in a, you know, con detalle, everything I remember when I was 5 years old.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Pero when it comes to short-term stuff, soy pésimo.
Sí.
When it comes to reminders, to daily routines,
mm-hmm.
you know,
finishing your degree.
TBD.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been done yet. To be determined.
Y no era como que no captabas la materia, no entendías, era de que
you couldn't
turn in the work.
Yeah.
You couldn't follow through with the work.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what my psychiatrist said. She's like, you flew under the radar, dude, because you're smart. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
And right now, me dijo, you're bored.
Mm-hmm.
You're
that's
bored.
That's another issue.
And you're not being stimulated enough. And mm-hmm. that's why you're procrastinating. You know, that's why you're putting things off. You know, but at the same time, we do have responsibilities now. Así que that's building anxiety. That's building pressure. And mm-hmm. you're like digging yourself in a hole. And I'm like, yes, dude, all of that.
You felt all of that.
So after those misses, she said, we need to figure out on how we get to you, to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting thing that she said that because, you know where we want to be.
Sí.
You know, we have our goals and our spiritual goals y todo eso, and we have them very well defined. Pero when it was coming to down to like me, I was like, well, I'm just supposed to do what I need to do to get where I want to, and that's it. Pero she made a good point. You know, nah, if I'm bored every step of the way and if I'm like getting myself into some type of trouble, que ni el caso.
Yeah.
So.
But why are you bored?
I wasn't bored teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't bored teaching. I think teaching.
You just wouldn't answer emails. And
I hated answering emails.
Grade.
Don't make me grade. Like, I just want to go there and have fun with the kids, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I just want to go
play. You were there for the entertainment.
I want to go play baseball and go to prom and, you know what I mean? Like,
chaperone.
Yeah. I want to be like in the movie Never Been Kissed and the guy rejoins high school.
There you go. No, which you promised me you were going to take me to prom and you never did.
I know.
Because I never went to prom.
That's the worst.
Which it was my choice, but. Okay.
So I wasn't bored in high school, like todo eso. I think every other job though, I was bored.
Yeah.
Every single job.
So otra cosa que was a pattern contigo, and honestly, I never thought anything of it porque me acuerdo que estábamos para casarnos y, you know, the bank was like, we don't know if we can give you this house porque you keep changing jobs. Mm-hmm. Pero en ese entonces, it wasn't like you were trying. It was like just one thing wasn't working out, mm-hmm. right? Because para mí era como que it wasn't working out because you know, DirecTV, you're not a good handyman, you know? Mm-mm. And so you were just kind of bouncing from here and there. And then you told the bank or whoever you told, pero eso significa que no importa qué pase, yo voy a pagar el bill.
Right.
This just shows how reliable I am that I do bounce around, but I haven't been without a job.
Yeah.
And we got the house.
Yeah, they didn't want to give us a loan, but
gracias
yeah,
a Dios, we you know, we got the house, tienes mm-hmm. verbo, también. And that always stuck with me because I'm like, that's true. Like, even though Jesse cambia su trabajo, not kidding, every 2 years, my mom and I did the math, every 2 years you were switching jobs. The only reason porque no dejaste el county after the 2 years was because they were bouncing you between departments.
And then you came into the picture.
And then I started working at the county and we were having too much fun. Mm-hmm. And then you switched to my department. So like every so often you were doing something different.
But then Michigan County, like almost 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you were, you know, empezaste dando shots, immunizations. Y luego te jalaban para eso, te jalaban para aquello. You covered animal control one time and you went and picked up some perros allá in Temecula.
Yeah.
And Tacna.
Tacna.
And then you started working at the STD clinic, the family planning clinic, you know, and
which
then,
is exciting as it was with all these stories, there was a lot of in-between time that I was just bored.
Yeah, you were bored.
I was so bored.
Was a lot of downtime. And then you started working at health promotions, where that's where you found your passion for teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And you were not just teaching abstinence and safe sex. You were teaching like car seats and then tomando control. And then like you were just, you know, you were being
cross-trained everywhere.
You were being cross-trained everywhere. Exactly. So that's why, pero between us getting married and you becoming a teacher, you switched your job so much. Y mi mamá me decía, es que ya está aburrido. Pero for us, it was never anything mental. It was just like who you are. And we were just like, well, that's just Jesse, you know? Mm-hmm. That's just Jesse. He, you know, Jesse is the type of person que le gusta, you like knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You want to learn and you like to learn. Y me acuerdo que siempre decías, I want to be a college professor or a staff member so I can take free classes. And you were, I'm like, who the heck? ¿Quién le gusta like estar en el colegio toda su vida? Me. Like, no, que flojera. And you read because you love. But to me, it was just like, you just like, you're just that person. That's just who you are.
But in a way, babe, I am.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I am. Like, now that I know that this is all, in cierta manera, symptoms of ADHD.
Yeah.
People who have ADHD, típicamente, you know, react this way.
Mm-hmm.
Not every time, you know. Because you have ADHD doesn't mean you're always going to be jumping up and down in jobs.
Same.
But your interests will change. Like, there's people that do it with hobbies. There's people that do it with interests. I seem to be doing it with just about everything. Like,
and when I would read, like, oh, people with mental health issues can't keep a job. Cuando leo yo eso, can't keep a job, para mí es they got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they would get bored and go to another job.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a learning curve.
Yeah. I mean, it really was. It really was. I think I really liked my job as a medical assistant, pero the day-to-day was boring. I liked my job as a health educator. But even that, the day-to-day was boring.
But it was boring. You have to change your mentality on what's boring.
Yeah.
I think that's what has to happen. Porque Nobody likes to do paperwork, dude.
Some people do.
I do.
You like to do paperwork. No es cierto. Some people like to do paperwork.
Okay, some people do, but most people don't like to do paperwork. Most people no le gusta, like, dedicar, you know, 10 minutes out of their day to sort their files and their, and, you know, categorize their purchase orders and all this stuff. Like, it's yo entiendo que it's not an enjoyable part of the job, but it's the part of, it's a part of everyone's job mostly, mm-hmm. you know? So yo digo que eso fue el problema en que you finally were like, you know what? This is not ever going to change no matter what job I have. So ¿qué es the issue? It's not boring. To me, it's not, you have to change your mentality on, try at least to change your mentality on what's boring and what bores you to, it's just a part of it. And I have to learn how to manage that and do it in a enjoyable fashion.
Te escucho, pero mira, let me give you some things here because I thought about this and.
No, I'm not saying it's going to be like the noche de mañana. Right. I'm just saying we can work on that.
Right. So I've actually researched, because of course I did, famous people with ADHD.
Yes, Jesse, I know this. But well, they have assistants that they pay to get their mundane tasks out of their way.
Will I Am.
Yes, Jesse.
Howie Mandel. Adam Levine. Adam Levine is not out there yelling, you know, filling out paperwork, you know?
Of course not. But you're not Adam Levine.
He's not out there
filling out paperwork. You're not Will I Am, bro.
So, like, son cosas.
You are a creative. Yes. You have talents. Yes. But you're not in a position to pay an assistant. I mean, and even then, I will say, para todos los que están escuchando el podcast, mm-hmm. you were not good at accepting help either. Mm. Cuando yo quiero ayudarte, sparks fly mm-hmm. over here, mister.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
100%. So, therapy and medication.
Antes de eso, though, because I gotta go back to that point. I gotta go back to that point because.
Should we make another podcast?
Why is
ADHD
it?
And marriage?
You really could. Because, pero, why is it that I enjoy teaching so much?
Because you had an audience.
No nomás eso. Besides teaching, what's the other industry that I really like for some reason?
Oh, waitering.
And then after that, the one that in the medical field, which one would be my favorite?
An emergency room.
According to Top Jobs, here's an article that says 16 good jobs for people with ADHD.
Oh, wow. There's 16.
Yes.
Okay, go.
While there isn't one size fits all career that works for every adult with ADHD.
Yeah, of course.
And then parenthesis says, wouldn't that be nice? Yes, it would actually. Okay. Yes, it would. Me encantaría poder ser todo eso.
Sí, porque you take like those matchmaker, what depending on your personality, right? Mm-hmm, what career you should go into. Mm-hmm. But there isn't one for like mental health.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So dice aquí, ¿verdad? The following jobs for people with ADHD may help reach their full potential by putting their natural skills to work. Mm-hmm. Number one, teacher.
Wow. So all of my teachers.
Many adults with ADHD find joy in professions that allow them to work directly with children in careers such as teaching or childcare. These jobs rely on your dynamic personality and thoughtful creativity, mm-hmm. though they may put your patience to the test.
Yeah.
To succeed in a kid-focused career, you must be able to think on your feet and transition from task to task quickly.
Yeah.
And understanding the challenges and strengths of students with ADHD is a huge plus, too.
I don't think anyone who knows you personally doubted that you should be doing something else except teaching. Yeah. I think we were all able to see you and say you were meant. You know how people sometimes were meant for their job?
Yeah, you think
I don't think I've ever met anyone that I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Even, you know, like friends of ours that have careers. I'm just mm-hmm. kind of like, maybe because I don't see them on like day to day, but all.
I know, but espérate. It isn't in there though, babe.
No, I know, but let me say it.
Okay.
Dime. I feel like you were meant to do that.
No. You think so?
Yeah.
Well, it's too late now.
No, baby.
No looking back.
You teach in other ways. And
I do.
And you need to be able to accept that and that's acknowledge true. That and 100%. See it that way.
I'm one day going to teach again. And I am teaching still. mm-hmm. with our community service that we do, right? With our yes. volunteer service that we do. Yeah. And in some shape or form, whether it's not as a public high school teacher, I will be teaching again.
Yeah.
You know, así que you're right about that. Number two, journalist.
Oh, God. What happened to your blog? Why don't you pick up your blog again?
You know what? That's something that I've been trying to do, but I want to go with a different direction.
Don't tell anybody.
Okay. Number three is kind of combined. It says cook or food industry worker.
Please be a cook. I'm so done.
Some adults with ADHD flourish in the culinary arts because the work is creative and relatively unaffected by ADHD-related deficits. Mm-hmm. Cooking requires you to focus on the task at hand and take immediate steps to create a finished product while not demanding long-range planning or lots of working
memory. So you need fast-paced, short.
I have to be go. I mean, what would happen the moment I would sit down before medication and therapy?
You would take a nap.
Because my brain says, oh, we're stopping?
Yeah.
So you know?
You're always sleeping.
Siempre, dude. Siempre.
Even while driving, people.
Another one's there that, you know, don't particularly I like, but okay, maybe this one. This seems kind of cool. Hairstylist or barber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fast paced. Nice. Small business owner, because work settings can vary from day to day, which accommodates the restlessness and boredom that many adults with ADHD experience.
Okay, you're a small business owner.
Yeah, same thing with entrepreneur. Another job is emergency first aid responders.
Yeah.
These jobs allow you to work in a variety of settings while providing the kind of adrenaline pumping excitement that helps many individuals.
I feel ADHD like your family always calls you as the first responder.
Yeah. So they say when others start to panic in chaos, the ADHD brain kicks into high gear,
yeah.
allowing you to see problems clearly and complete the task at hand.
Yeah, your ADHD has so many virtues.
Dude, but it makes so much sense to get like...
These are what you are interested in.
Uh-huh. These are all things that I'm interested in. Nurse, también. Nursing, también.
Oh, you and nursing. A love story.
So somewhere in like a high-tech field or software developer. And then last.
Wow. So you are predictable.
Oh, for real, right? Like I'm really like, they really nailed me on this one. They really
nailed you.
And then the last two are artist or theatrical stage manager. I took 4 years of drama, you dude.
In drama.
Wow. I am not as unique and as individualized as I thought I was.
You are full scope ADHD.
Dude, full scope, bro.
Full scope. Wow.
this makes so much sense,
isn't it so relieving?
It is.
Yeah, it is.
I like
this for you.
I would get bored because part of it, because of ADHD. Mm-hmm. And I needed to be kept busy. And you've known that.
Yeah.
The moment I'm busy, I'm cool. When I have my busiest schedules.
Yeah, you crush it.
I'm on it. The moment I take a break and then the moment depression hits.
You always want to take a break.
That's when I'm just like, oh, but I suck.
Yeah.
But I'm worthless. I'm not even good at this. I'm not going to try. I should just give up. You know, and that's where it gets difficult.
That's where your spiral comes in.
That's where my spiral comes in. That's where my bad habits start taking over. And so
this all makes sense. Therapy and medication. The people want to know. Well, I don't know if the people want to know, but you want to tell the people.
The people do want to know. In fact, everybody who has been reaching out, thank you for reaching out. You guys have been really nice, really supportive, super kind. When it comes to all this.
You know what I've been learning is that before I was like, people don't want to know. Like I shouldn't tell anyone. Or we shouldn't, I mean, for a long time, I even struggled with doing the podcast because I'm a very private person. Mm-hmm. Part of my, why I retract, is that the word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Es porque digo, nobody cares. And no quiero llamar la atención. Para mí, la gente que pone todo online and they talk about their whole lives, I'm just like, but it's just not, to me, it was quieres llamar la atención. You know, mm-hmm. But there's just so much more good from sharing. Mm-hmm. I'm learning than to keep it in because you allow other people to open up as well.
Es cierto.
And that whole motto of you're not alone is so impactful because even though the whole world, as we're learning, ¿verdad? In some way or shape or form, or in un punto en su vida o otros, they go through something like this. And sometimes your family doesn't understand, or your closest friends don't understand, porque they're not going through the same thing, especially if it's mental.
O porque son de rancho, because they siempre tienen esa excusa, ¿verdad?
Sí. So it's like, it's so nice de que there are people, like, there's not a lot of information on certain things because people are not willing to talk about it.
I've had some really good conversations with different people, gente que no me ha dicho, no sabía that they were also going through something.
Ándale, exactly.
And this week...
You know, because you don't know unless you talk about it.
I've had more conversations with others que también are going through something similar or some other type of, you know, mental health illness. Y en verdad, muchas gracias for reaching out. It does mean a lot, and it does, you know, validify and confirm ese punto de que no están solos, right? You're not alone when it comes to that. And in mi caso, when I finally went to the psychiatrist and I finally got my diagnosis, well, they recommended different things. One was medication, and two was cognitive behavioral therapy, and of course, you know, some type of counseling también, ¿verdad?
What's the difference between counseling and therapy?
So, I guess...
Because one is a psychologist and one is a social worker, no?
I mean, that's where I honestly am a little confused myself.
Te están bajando el billete, tío. Pregúntales.
Pero ahorita lo que han hecho es de que, like, the counselor or the social worker has been more of like, okay, how is this affecting you mentally? And what do you think this, you know, means moving forward? And the psychologist that I saw, Dr. Bailey, he is more of like, okay, let's take a deep look at what could be possibly triggering this. And let's really start, you know, tearing this diagnosis apart, bit by bit, right?
Okay.
And the psychiatrist is more of like, okay, how's this medication
dosing
affecting
you?
Yeah. Like, ¿cómo te sientes
based on the medication? Decided to take medication.
I did. So she prescribed Ritalin, which is, typically there's two popular medications to give people with ADHD. One is Adderall. The other one is Ritalin. So that's the one I'm taking. The generic one, methylphenidate. The max dose is 60 milligrams a day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at 54.
Okay. How do you feel?
Well,
I mean, I know the differences, but
when I first started it, I just got it bumped up. I think I was like at 45 or something, ¿verdad?
Yeah.
And it was a trip. I was telling you that I felt a little pressure in my forehead. ¿Recuerdas que te decía?
Sí.
Like, babe, I feel like a little pressure. Como que alguien está poniendo sus dedos in mi forehead. And you're like, what? And then we did research, of course, because I did, you know.
Because we were having breakfast y me dijiste, because like, I, you know, I'm trying to check in on you and be like,
yeah,
how are you doing? Y los primeros días me dijiste like, oh, siento eso en mi frente.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what part of the brain is that? And that's when you were like, let's Google this. And we learned.
Yeah. So apparently, like, you know, they don't know why, pero people with ADHD cannot absorb the certain chemicals, you know, in your brain that allows you to pay attention and focus to activate your prefrontal cortex, ¿verdad?
Uh-huh.
So this medication was allowing me to absorb those chemicals that then
you have
activated.
Your brain had never absorbed before.
Activated my prefrontal cortex. And if the brain is a muscle, it was literally working out a part of the muscle que nunca se había usado. So it's like,
which was right in your
forehead. I was feeling sore.
Yeah.
Tanto pensar y tanto enfocarme.
Yeah.
So
you were doing major reps in there.
I was,
bro.
Man. I have mad gains.
You were lifting heavy duty in there.
I have mad gains when it comes to this.
See.
And right off the bat, we've noticed that I've become less fidgety. I'm able to sit down through a meeting. I'm able to sit down
without falling asleep, dozing off, getting up,
dozing off. If something is not as engaging as I would like it to be, I can still kind of power through it versus like losing interest within 30 seconds and going, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
And that's not just meeting wise. That's like a lot of other things, ¿verdad?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, like movies, books, conversations with your parents, todo, ¿verdad? Todo. Yep. Absolutely everything.
Yep. Even your family.
Even my family.
You were just like, ¿y dónde está el Jesse? Ya se acostó.
Me iba a acostar because I was withdrawing.
I'm like, wait, he's either on the toilet or taking a nap.
Mm-hmm. And turns out that I was doing that because I had to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go take a break because there was too much going on for me.
Or not enough.
You know, one or the other, ¿verdad? It's like, apparently that's, I have no chill. I have no chill when it comes to that. ¿Qué más he notado? I've noticed that I'm not as hungry as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, they also prescribe me Prozac. or the generic of Prozac.
For your depression.
For my depression and anxiety. And it's algo que... ¿Te acuerdas cuando a veces te decía que no podía respirar? I felt like I couldn't breathe.
Yep.
I thought it was asthma. I thought it was my allergies or my congestion.
I told you. Are you sure it's not anxiety?
And I was like, no.
You wanted to go to the doctor to check your lungs.
Turns out it was anxiety. Siempre when I couldn't breathe is when I had something going on that I knew I didn't do and I felt really guilty about. And it was like, I was having a hard time just taking a deep breath. Cuando miraba a huge to-do list, I would deflect, I would ignore, I would procrastinate because I was so mentally exhausted of thinking about it que ya no lo quería hacer.
Y yo le compré una agenda según con to-do list para ayudarte and I didn't realize that it was harming you more.
But now, ever since I started taking the medication, both of them, I still tengo muchas cosas que hacer. I still have a lot to do. I have a lot of people that count on me. But now, I'm not the most organized person in the world, pero de perdida, I can say, let me scratch this one off the list.
Yeah, okay. Mentally, I feel like you can wrap your brain, por decirlo así, around your to-do list more than just avoid it.
Y era con muchas cosas. Por ejemplo, like, even like with cosas que like más sencillas. ¿Te acuerdas cuando me decías, babe, let's go for a jog? Y decía, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't go exercise right now. Well, why not? Well, because I have a meeting at 3 p.m. And you're like, babe, it's 8 in the morning. I know, babe, but I can't do it. You're crazy. Like, there's no way. There's no way that I can do this right now.
Yeah.
It was all my ADHD. Anxiety. Era eso.
One of the most, like, weird que dije yo, todas esas otras cosas, like, sí las puedo entender. Las entiendo. Pero one of your symptoms and one of the things that the medication ayudó was your driving.
See,
and I was just like, what?
See,
¿cómo es que that even like
it makes sense
went into your driving?
What was my number one complaint when driving?
That you were sleepy.
And why was I sleepy?
You always would say if the road was boring, I guess.
I was bored. You either had to talk to me like super high energy.
Yes.
Or we had to bump music super loud.
Yeah.
You had to sing along with me. God forbid that if someone else is in the car, you start having a conversation with that person instead of me.
See.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I was just going to fall asleep.
Driving. Y la cosa es que nunca chocaste. Nunca has chocado.
Not that I know of.
I mean, I think I would know, right? I would know.
I don't know.
Jesse, maybe, what do you mean I don't know?
I don't know. Maybe I fell asleep and my ADHD, like,
I would know if you crashed.
Okay.
I wouldn't know if you fell asleep for like a split couple of seconds.
Right.
But if you crashed, yeah.
Yeah.
Pero nunca has chocado. I don't think you've ever swerved off of the road.
I swerved a little.
You swerve a little, pero no es como like detrimental.
Yeah.
Pero just enough to like hit those little bumps. La ansiedad mía de verte estándote durmiendo.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, we either gotta switch, yo creo que muchas personas que nos miran on the road might be like, huh, why is Jessica always driving? Well, now you guys know why. Okay? Now you guys know why. O una de dos. O el Jesse se duerme, or he gets distracted that he forgets where he's going.
Yeah, that's a
even
big one.
In our small town.
In Soma, bro.
Even in our small town, going to the territory back in the day, it's like, Jesse, where are you going? I don't know. I forgot. We literally just left the house like 2 seconds ago and you already took a wrong turn.
Yeah.
So I drive for the sake of our marriage. I drive. Okay. Freeways in like bigger cities, my anxiety kicks in. So that's where he's good at because he's fast paced and he's like going 80 miles an hour and he's excited porque están los carros. Zum, 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 and he's like, yes, you know, but once we hit the desert, he's like, I can't. So anyways, that was a big shocker to me. So the first time after your medication, after you got medicated, we went out of town to Palm Desert. Super boring drive. The best drive for me because it was flat and straightforward. Pero we were driving our two cars and we sold our one car and then we drove back together in one car.
Yep.
And I was thinking like, man, this drive was so boring. Yeah, like, you know, we've been on the road all day. He's going to be tired. Like,
you were ready.
I was ready. I was ready at some point de cambiarnos, ¿no? And you just kept, the radio was off.
It was off.
The radio was off. No había That's música, true. No mm-hmm. Spotify, nada. It was just you and I talking.
It wasn't even periodically. Yeah.
Periodically. I was tired.
Yeah.
And we hit like El Centro and you were fine.
I was.
And you were not dozing. No te estabas mordiendo los dedos. No te estabas, sí, me muerdo no te estabas cacheteando.
Me cacheteo, me muerdo.
You were not like, hey, you know that our, you know, the Best Western is our spot. Oh, Jesse parks outside a hotel and falls asleep.
Yes, yes.
You didn't suggest like pulling over and falling asleep for a little bit. Nada. It was just like.
At night, it's worse. At night, con the veil purple trees, you know it's done.
Yeah.
The moment I see purple trees driving at night, like, that's the little Jesse.
Your mom sees them too.
Oh, yeah. And then I start ducking.
Sí. You start ducking porque dices, the trees. And I'm like, okay, bro.
I know. Pull over. I should have gone to therapy and gotten medicated such a long time ago.
It's okay.
Apenas tengo dos meses, 32 años viviendo de esta forma. Nah.
31, espérate.
¿Ah, cuándo cumplo los 32? ¿Hasta noviembre?
November.
Se me olvidó. ADHD.
That's what you should have called it. Se me olvidó.
Se me olvidó otra vez. Juan Gabriel.
What?
Así se llama la rola, pues, Juan Gabriel.
No sé.
Se me olvidó otra vez.
Oh. Okay.
Or the cover by Eugenio Derbez, cuando dijo, aquí les va la canción, se me olvidó otra vez. Y luego la hace, ¿cómo va?
I love that, man. Okay, so yeah, to me, that's been one of like the freakiest, weirdest, like, yeah. What? That was your ADHD, bro?
The whole time?
That's interesting. We're learning so much.
What about my depression?
Let's go into it. Do we have time?
Yeah, really briefly, because, you know, just like in a nutshell, I noticed that I don't emotionally eat.
Yes.
My depression was making me emotionally eat.
Yes.
My depressive states would make me go to the fridge.
And your boredom.
And my boredom. Mm-hmm. Así que I lost a significant amount of weight in these 2 months, mainly because I'm not eating all day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a special diet. I don't have like a...
No, you don't.
You know, I'm just not always on the fridge.
Mm-hmm. And the other day, well, a while back, you were like, let's go for a jog. And yeah. I legit wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I ever thought that I would hear you say that.
For the first time, thanks to just like exploring this subject, siendo más honesto conmigo mismo, you know, the couple of therapy sessions that I've had, the medication, the consistent, you know, mindful, you know, routine que tengo. And I do believe that my spiritual routine is going to be playing a huge factor también into all of this mental wellness.
Mm-hmm. It's probably like I know for me it was a huge reason of why we can continue on even with unresolved issues.
I mean, I love the fact that, like, you know, everything that we've learned, like, you know, through your like studying the Bible, is that it's always been an open invitation to talk about our mental health.
Yeah.
You know, like no tenemos que ser callados, reservados, y echarle la culpa de que somos de rancho o machistas, or that's how I was raised, you know, like,
yeah,
we can break away from that. Así que now that I'm starting to do that myself more actively, I'm starting to recognize, oh, I feel this way right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel good. What can I do? Well, I can do this. Can I go jog right now? I have a lot going on, but if I do that, then I should have time now. So let's go now. Antes no podía hacer eso.
Yeah.
I just did not think that way. I just had too much to do and had no time to do it. And nothing would get done because I was always stuck in that mentality.
And then you would have anxiety and depression because you wouldn't get it done. So then you would eat.
And, you know, I don't always feel good. Like, this has been mostly a positive experience. I'm so happy of everything that I've been experiencing so far, but
mm-hmm.
I don't always feel good.
No, you have your moments that you're like, I just need to cry.
Yeah. Well, there was like maybe 2-3 Sundays ago that I got really nostalgic. I missed my dad. And
your dad is fine and alive. But
my dad is fine and alive. But like for some reason, like I started listening to Chente because I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I put Chente, you know, whenever I put
Hermoso Your Chente Cariño, is like my Adele.
Y ándale.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I put like Hermoso Cariño or Mi Querido Viejo, forget it, dude.
Forget it.
It's over. I'm crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just there crying. And And I just felt sad. I no sabía why I felt sad, but I was able to recognize that, well, I'm going to feel sad for now and I'm going to be okay.
And
with
it's
that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And no, no el único día, I think it's been like maybe 3 or 4 occasions que me he sentido así.
And that's with medication.
And that's with medication. Pero mm-hmm. I've been able to pinpoint it, think about it, mm-hmm. let myself feel it, and then try to move forward. Well, yeah. I mean, when I was one day, when I was super stressed out, I went and I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And you asked me, are you hungry right now? No. Then what are you doing? I want this.
Yeah, that's what you said. But I want this. And I was like, okay.
Okay. And it wasn't until the fact that I ate it that I was like, I'm stressed right now. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm eating right now, because I'm stressed. Mm-hmm. Nunca he pensado así until now. It has that alone right there. The fact that I'm able to break down what I'm feeling in a systematic way. Someone who loves to do research, someone who loves to look things at a logical way like myself, that was what makes me feel safe. The fact that I can do it to myself a este nivel, that alone has been worth it.
Yeah.
That alone has been worth the medication. That alone has been worth the whatever stigma people want to see me as, because I can say that I am ADHD, I have ADHD and I have depression. I don't care, because this diagnosis, for as sucky as it is, mm-hmm. you know, for as, you know, inconvenient and as sad as some people can see it, when I got that diagnosis, it allowed me to finally work on myself.
Yeah.
Not just in the ways that I've already been working in myself, as in becoming a mature, responsible husband, provider.
Adulting.
Adult and, you know, como se llama, like member of the congregation. No, more than just that. Even yeah. that, more on a deeper emotional level. Algo que I thought I was always doing, but then I realized there's a lot more to do.
Yeah, there's, you can always dig deeper.
And I'm glad that I did.
Yeah, me too. And there's moments since medication that you've told me, I feel happy.
Yeah, super weird.
And I was like, well, you weren't happy before?
No.
And you were like, no, this is happy. I feel happy. And everybody knows Jesse as the funny guy. And this is why it's so important.
Dude, me acuerdo, like, and even sounds, it sounded sad after I said it, pero me acuerdo que me dijiste, like, but you sing all the time. Mm-hmm. Y luego, like, very instinctively, sin pensarla, te dije, not because I sing means I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And yo mismo me caché como que like, oh my God, that's sad.
But this is what I'm saying. O sea, yo no, I'm not going to put you in a box and say like, well, you know, but people who are in the public eye, who have been known for their comic side, are the saddest people.
Yeah, I'm cliche.
And it's just so... it's just so interesting, and I'm happy that you're finally exploring it, because, you know, it's not too late ever. Si don't think that, oh, it's in my 30s now. Well, it's better now than never.
Si alguien terco, sabelo todo, como yo, was able to say, nah, let's go try to see if we can do something about this, then everybody can, right? Like, you know, at least everybody is welcome to try. And I don't know if medication is for everyone. I don't know if therapy is for everyone. I don't know, you know, if you know, every treatment and every option is going to be highly individual, highly sí. individualized and highly personalized. Pero if at the very least you can do some type of self-assessment and have this conversation with yourself or your loved ones, then that is all we want. That is all we are trying
That's
to
That's all we can do.
Lo único que queremos nosotros es hacerles saber de que this has worked for us. No creemos in the stigma. No creemos de que yo, I personally do not feel like any less of a man, any less of a person, Good any less you. Of anything, because I am perfectly comfortable saying I need to work on this, but on the same time, I know what I am. Mm-hmm. I know what I have to offer as a person in value, as a team, you know, in any type of work environment, any type of family setting. I've always been the anchor de mi familia.
Yeah.
I know that I know what role I have, you know, in our marriage. I know what role I have, you know, with the community and the friends that I, you know, go
care
with
for.
And care for. I know all of that. And now, thanks to this conversation about mental health, I feel like I can now also simultaneously work on myself to be able to continue to be that anchor, pillar, support
for others
in a more sustainable way.
And I love you more.
Oh, thank you. give it.
That's all I'm gonna say about my emotions.
Hasta ahí vamos a llegar con las emociones. No, exprésate.
Thank you all for listening
to
the 50-50.
And that is it para este episodio of the 50-50 ADHD and me.
And parte, me too.
Parte dos. We should call it that. No. ADHD it's and me.
It's not about me.
Me too. Yeah. You know, acá outro time. ¿Cuánto me quieres? ¿Cuánto me amas?
No.
Outro energy.
I'm still working on myself too, okay?
Dude, and people want us to procreate. You imagine the depressive babies with autoimmune disease que nos van a salir.
Si es que salen. Si es que salen, bro. Okay. It's a toughie here. It's a toughie. Oh, man.
You imagine? Mm-hmm. They'd be cool.
Okay.
It would be so cool.
No, but yeah, I feel like as your wife, I notice these things, and it's nice.
Yeah, thank you, babe.
I think it's nice. I think it's good. I better, like I said, it's better late than never.
It's a process, man.
La mera neta, estoy super contenta que no me la llevo cleaning after you every time you would eat. I'm gonna say that.
Really?
See, dude.
I haven't even noticed that myself. Okay.
What do you mean?
Like, I haven't noticed, like, am I cleaner?
No, I'm just saying. Okay, te haces un sandwich, sacas todo, no pones nada para atrás.
Uh-huh.
Like, a la media hora, another hour, you know, you go and grab a bubbly. Yeah, ya dejas el can.
Después,
like, you know, you want an orange and you leave the peels. Uh-huh. And I'm just like.
¿Y las fichas?
Ándale las fichas.
¿Y las fichas?
That kind of thing. Yeah. So. It's like, okay, cool. And then, para mí, it was like one of the biggest things that has helped my, I guess, now that I'm thinking about it, my mental health and how to deal with like my issues was exercise. And for me, it was like, why can't Jesse see that? Why can't he see that this is good, not just for his body, but for his brain? Because, you know, we want to do an episode on that, not what we've talked about previously about exercise and like eating healthy and how like Hispanics, but like body image.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna go into that.
We will.
So because to me it was never about that. It was always about how I felt. And por eso dije, like, I got emotional cuando me dijiste, like, quiero ir a correr, because to me it was like, yes, I want this for you. I want you to see the benefits for your brain to get out and just exercise.
I think if I had to put down in a very like direct, very no nonsense way, en que forma me ha ayudado this conversation and this diagnosis, is that it has made me realize that I can do a better job of taking care of myself.
Yes. Good for you, babe. I'm happy about
That's
that.
That's the biggest thing. I can do a better job of taking care of myself, and I'm gonna start.
Yeah.
And that's been it, man. Así que, you know,
and I think that in our marriage, as your wife, that helps me too.
Oh, 100%.
Because, you know, typical, you put on the oxygen mask first before you help others. And it's like, I feel like we're in this part of our age and maybe, you know, our chapter in life, I guess, where we are digging deeper into our own selves. But that's just making us a better person to be, in the end, a better couple.
Yeah, better partner to each other. At least that's what we're hoping for.
And I'm hoping that that's what, like, that's what the marriages that last go through.
At least that's what we're swinging for.
Yeah, yeah. To be continued. Who knows?
TBD. For those everybody else that, you know, has been going out, for those have been reaching out, muchas gracias for reaching out. You know, please continue to do so. I really do appreciate that. For those who haven't, y si sienten que, like, you know what? This is something that I can explore, or this is something that I can talk about, or at the very least, have a conversation to normalize this topic, to break that stigma. And I think it really does go a long way, especially if someone you know or yourself are going through something similar. Maybe not ADHD, but what about maybe perhaps depression or anxiety or the many other different, you know, mental health issues que pueden existir. Así que, y como siempre, verdad, we're going to put some resources here hotlines. I actually had a person who reached out to me saying, hey, you know what? I'm actually going to call that number.
What number?
The hotline that we put on the last episode.
You put a hotline?
I put a hotline for you to where to, so they can kind of help you where to find resources available in your area.
Oh, that's so cool. Mm-hmm.
And they're like,
also tag the book.
Oh, I will. Okay.
That's because, good. You know, I'm reading it.
¿Cómo se llama el book otra vez?
What happened to you?
What happened to you?
What happened to you?
What happened to you?
No, I wasn't. It's not a question. It's like a, it's a statement. Oh. What happened to you?
Oh, that's powerful.
What happened to you?
Oh, very nice. Very yeah, powerful. Well,
let me well, just recheck.
Así que, you know, you know, everybody, if you guys have been enjoying this content, muchas gracias.
Oh, shoot. It's a question.
It's a question?
Sorry.
It's a question?
Yeah, but you have to read it to understand, like the whole question mark to not to a statement.
What happened to you?
What happened to you?
Oh, it's a different tone, but mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, what happened to you? It's more of like, tell me, what happened to you?
Exactly.
Andale.
You gotta read the book.
Ya le capté. De nuevo, for those who have been listening, verdad, thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for leaving these reviews, this feedback, for checking out our website, for leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. If you haven't, you know, and you want to check out the things that we offer, catch on all the other episodes, read some of our blogs, or even reach out for a free consultation on the 5050 Media, which is the side business that we offer. Check out our website, the5050.com. That's the5050.com. And also go ahead and check out our Instagram. It's the.50fifty, the.5050. Estamos aquí para, you know, to keep this conversation going. Así que, como siempre, everybody, thank you all so much for listening to
The 5050.